Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And for those who are visiting with us today, let me tell you, this is the second message. Hopefully, you'll get to hear the first message. I think Roy does have some CDs here today and maybe some DVDs. But the title of the message is Seeing and Hearing and Not Understanding. Seeing and Hearing and Not Understanding. I'll take a few moments and just review the first message. But look in Matthew 13, beginning there with verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So seeing and hearing and not understanding. Last week I began this brief series and I pointed out basically the importance and the necessity of understanding. Unhappily, understanding is that which is lacking in the lives of most Christians. We've never really sought understanding and most people have never really attempted to even apply the Word of God to their lives. Many times, we let things slip from our minds. In fact, the book of Hebrews says we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things, lest at any time we should let them slip. But most of the time when we talk about, especially biblical truths, someone will say, well, it either slipped my mind or I just simply forgot it. Well, let me tell you something. It's interesting to know that we usually do not forget something we understand. If we forget it and it slips from our mind, we really never understood it to begin with. Now, last week I endeavored to demonstrate just simply one point, and that is the importance and the necessity of understanding. And I took you through the Bible and I showed a number of passages that I hope surprised a lot of people. Because when you talk about the 12 apostles, when we think of those 12 apostles, we think that here are the mighty men of God, men that are filled with the Spirit, men that understood, men that were capable of teaching and grasping everything that our Lord said. And the interesting thing is we went through the Scripture, even the 12 apostles, over and over, the Bible says, but they understood not. They understood not. They understood not. And they had to ask our Lord over and over to explain what he was saying. I went through about a dozen passages showing that whatever our Lord said and taught, they did not understand. And they had to ask. And occasionally, the Scripture says they were even afraid to ask. Why? Because they realized they should have understood, and yet at the same time, they did not understand. So, over and over, even the mighty apostles did not understand. So I just pointed out last week, do not consider yourself dumb or stupid just because there are some things in the Bible you don't understand. Even the apostles didn't understand. They had to seek understanding. They had to seek another answer. So we should be willing to go to our Lord the same way. Now, let me begin to say this. When it comes to understanding, there are absolutely two truths that we must grasp. Listen carefully. The first one is this. There are some truths that we're unable to understand immediately. There are some truths that we're unable to understand immediately. I want you to hold Matthew 13, but look in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I read this passage last week, but let me just point out this one truth. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning there with verse 11. And the Apostle Paul is talking about the priesthood of Christ. If you look in verse 10, he says like this concerning Christ, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now watch verse 11. So we're talking about the priesthood of Christ, of whom we have many things to say, that is concerning Christ and his priesthood, and hard to be uttered, that is, they're difficult to put into words. What? Why? Seeing you're dull of understanding. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, notice the Bible says, both good and evil. So, just as it would be impossible today to feed Jackson a T-bone steak. Now, Jackson's daddy would take care of it, but it would be impossible to feed Jackson a T-bone steak. Even so, it's impossible for a newborn babe in Christ to understand what you and I would call the meat of the word. It's just impossible. You feed babies with food that happens to be convenient for them. And likewise, you feed spiritual babies food that happens to be convenient for them. You remember that there are various stages in the Christian life. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle John talks about babes. He talks about young men. And he talks about fathers. So you have to be a babe before you can be a young man. And you have to be a young man before you can be a father. Now, last week I made this statement, and I'm probably going to do it in the not too distant future. But probably what I need to do is show you from the scripture the characteristics of a babe, the characteristics of a young man, and the characteristics of a father. No one expects a teenage boy to act like a 50-year-old man. Neither does anyone expect a 2-year-old child to act like a 16-year-old young man. There are various stages, and very obviously, at those different stages, they are unable to be fed with the same food. So, it's like that spiritually speaking. The young man is not going to understand what the father understands. I've told you this before, but it just hit me again. I usually tell people that I can prove absolutely that light travels faster than sound. Because the advice and the counsel that I gave my children at 18, they didn't hear until they were 40. So you'll understand that a little bit later. But that's it. You don't expect an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old to act like a 50-year-old, nor a 2-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. So you have to understand there are some things in the Bible that you're not necessarily going to understand instantly and immediately, especially that is going to be determined by what stage you are in your Christian life. The second truth is this. If you find a certain truth difficult, you must learn to do what the early disciples did. And that is, you have to go to Christ and seek further illumination, enlightenment, and understanding from Him. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you'll look in the book of Mark chapter 4, let's begin reading there with verse 33. Mark 4, verse 33. The Bible says in this passage, and with many such parables spake he the word to them. Now watch this, as they were able to hear it. Isn't that interesting? Did you know that Christ will only teach you as you're able to hear it? Now watch. So with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, He expounded all things to his disciples. In other words, when he got away from the multitude and he was alone with his disciples, he gave further explanation and further illumination and further enlightenment. Do you realize I've written a number of books? And I've had people to ask me, here's a sentence or here's a paragraph or here's a page that I don't understand. What do you mean by that, or what did you mean when you wrote that? And I explain it. The point being, they could have gone to Kevin and asked him what I meant when I wrote that. And Kevin would probably shrug his shoulders and say, I don't know. You need to ask him. He's the one that wrote it. So the point I'm trying to make is this. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. This is the living Word of God. You can go to Christ. You can go to the Holy Spirit and say, what in the world is meant here? Show me. For instance, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Look, if you would please, at verse 13. Look what our Lord said concerning the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13. Here the Word of God says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. But note, if you would, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. So it's His ministry then to further illuminate your mind and guide you into truth, to give you understanding. Now, last week I covered one point, the importance and the necessity of understanding. Today, I'm going to cover only the second point, one point as well, and that is this. Understanding is a duty as well as a gift. Now, the very fact that understanding is a gift in Scripture is very easily proven. It doesn't matter if you look in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. The Scripture teaches that the Lord alone is the possessor of all wisdom and understanding, and He gives it according to His divine purposes to those who seek Him in the right way. Now, I want you to turn with me very quickly in some Scriptures. Hold Matthew 13, but turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And here we have Solomon's request and what God said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Notice, if you would please, and let's begin reading there with verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Isn't that an amazing statement where God just told Solomon, just ask me. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but as a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now look, here is his request. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast, Lord, asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast for thyself asked understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, here it is, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And if you look at verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be among the kings like unto thee any all thy days. But note, if you would, what the Bible says. I have given thee, says God, a wise and understanding heart. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 38. Right before the book of Psalms, you have the book of Job, Job 38. And look, if you would, at verse 36. Job 38 and verse 36. This is put in the form of a question, Job 38 and verse 36, where God asked, he asked Job, and look back at verse 1, if you would, Job 38, then the Lord answered Job. So God is asking Job this. So in verse 36 we read, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Well, very obviously, it is God. God is the one that gives wisdom, and God is the one that gives understanding. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. In fact, you will hear me quote this passage quite often. But look in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 at what the Bible says very pointedly. I don't see how anyone could get around this verse. But the Bible says in Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wow. The Lord giveth wisdom. Do you remember the passage that we read in the New Testament there in Matthew 13, verse 11? Listen to what our Lord said to his disciples. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Now, if something is given to you, it is a gift. The Bible says in Luke 24 and verse 45, and this is in reference to our Lord's disciples, then opened he their understanding so that they might understand the scriptures. What did our Lord do? He gave them understanding. He opened their understanding. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7 to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Where does understanding come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. Let me show you one other. Look in 1 John 5 and verse 20. 1 John 5 and verse 20. Interestingly, 1 John 5 and verse 20, the Apostle John says it like this. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So let me ask you a question. What if our Lord asked you the way he did his early disciples and said, he asked this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some answered, some said, you're Elijah, one of the prophets. Our Lord said, whom say ye that I am? And the Apostle Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you remember what our Lord said to Peter when he made that confession? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. He didn't say, Peter, boy, you're smarter than everybody else. You finally figured this thing out. No. He said, Peter, my Father revealed it to you. He gave you understanding. If you understand, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is salvation, and he is salvation alone, God gave you that understanding. You didn't figure it out for yourself. God gave you that understanding. That's what 1 John 5 and verse 20 says. So it is God who sovereignly and powerfully gives us his gift of understanding. Now listen carefully. Since understanding is a gift from God, it is also, therefore, our duty and our responsibility to seek this gift from him. It may surprise you to know that we have been commanded in the Scripture to understand. Stop and think about that. Our Lord commands us to understand. For instance, look in your Bibles if you would. And by the way, before I turn you there, I want you to listen to this statement. Our natural inability to understand does not negate our responsibility to understand. Our natural inability, just because we're not necessarily super spiritual, and just because we're flesh and blood, our natural inability does not negate our responsibility to understand. So look at Matthew chapter 15, if you would, at verse 10. Matthew 15 in verse 10. And then we're going to Mark chapter 7. So look at Matthew chapter 15 in verse 10. Look at what our Lord says. Matthew 15 in verse 10. The scripture says, and he called the multitude. Now, it's not just his disciples. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. And I'm going to point out that both of these are commands. He said, hear and understand. If you look in Mark 7 and verse 14. Mark 7 and verse 14. Mark 7 and verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, not just his disciples, when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now, in each of these instances, when our Lord says either hear or hearken and understand, in the Greek, these are present active indicatives. Not indicatives, but present active imperative. An imperative is a command. Being present active, it means that you are continually to be hearing and you're to be continually understanding. In other words, when our Lord commands us something, we must obey. And here's his command to hear and to understand. In other words, understanding may be his gift, but it is our duty and our responsibility to seek him for that gift. Now, I want you to turn with me back to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. I want to show you this. I want you to see, I'm going to read a lot in the book of Proverbs, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. But look in Proverbs chapter 4, and let's begin reading there with verse 1. I want you to understand that we have been commanded to understand. You say, I don't understand the scriptures, but you have a responsibility because you've been commanded. So watch, Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. In other words, here's what he's saying. Pay attention to get understanding. Look in Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get understanding. Look in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Look in Proverbs 5. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. What did he say? Bow thine ear to my understanding. Proverbs 23 and verse 23, I quoted this verse last week. I love it. And here it is, Proverbs 23, verse 23, a very simple verse. And God says this, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. And while you're buying, God says also you better get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You say, boy, if I could buy that, I would. Well, I'm going to explain a little bit later how it comes to pass. But look in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Look what our Lord says. The Apostle Paul is inspired to write. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, he says this, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Isn't that interesting? Be not children in understanding. You know, if Jackson was just a couple years older, I could say, Jackson, I want you to recite all of your times tables. He might look at me and say, I don't understand your request. And he would be right because he's a child. And just another year or two is not going to make that much difference right now. He could say, I don't understand. So in children, he says, as a child, you can have a little malice. But in understanding, you better be men. So he's commanding us to be mature in understanding. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Here it is again. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Where our Lord commands, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So if he commands us not to be unwise, the opposite is we must be wise, and at the same time, we must be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I've spent all this time showing you two simple truths. Okay? The first truth is this. Understanding is a divine gift. God must give it. The second truth is, it's your duty and it's your responsibility to seek the Lord for understanding. Now that you understand, and I'm using that understanding is a gift and a duty, you have to ask this question, or these questions. What is understanding? How do I know whether I understand or not? Stop and think about that. How can I tell if Ed really understands something? I'm going to tell if Marshall understands. You know, I could explain and explain and explain. I understand it, but that does not necessarily mean that you understand. So how can I tell whether or not Marshall understands or Patrick understands? Well, let me tell you this. Biblical understanding differs from worldly understanding. Just like biblical wisdom differs from worldly wisdom. Let me show you that in the Bible. I want you to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Do you understand there are individuals with earned PhDs, sometimes far more than one, who, although they are so brilliant in the things of the world, are absolutely ignorant in the things of Christ. They have no ability to understand heavenly things. Look in James chapter 3, and let's begin reading there with verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, if you've got wisdom, and if you've got understanding, there's going to be a demonstration of it in your life. Then he says this, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. By the way, I have a message on this that I've preached years ago when I preached through the book of James. But I want to just point this out. Look in verse 14. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. What is truth? First of all, the Word of God is called the Word of Truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So that means when you act and live contrary to Scripture, you are lying against the Word of God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God. So he says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. Now watch what he says. Watch verse 15. This wisdom, that is that bitter envy and strife, this wisdom, that is this earthly, worldly wisdom, descendeth not from above. It doesn't come from God, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Now watch, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now what is our Lord saying? Our Lord is saying, you can tell who has biblical wisdom and who has worldly wisdom. Likewise, you can tell who has biblical understanding and who does not have biblical understanding, because it's going to be demonstrated in our lives. So let me ask this question. Do you remember Solomon's request that he prayed in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9? He said, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Now listen what he's asked. Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. What does that tell you? It tells you that understanding has to do with the law of God. Understanding has to do with the Word of God, because all of God's Word is law. Biblical understanding distinguishes between good and bad. It distinguishes between right and wrong. Biblical understanding will enable us to judge righteous judgment. You hear people all the time quote from the book of Matthew where our Lord says, judge not that you be not judged. Yeah, the Bible does say that. You can't judge someone's motives. But the Bible does say in John 7 and verse 24, judge righteous judgment. And I don't have to judge your motive. I can judge your actions based upon the Word of God. Now, our Lord said in John 10 and verse 10, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Well, how does our Lord give us life? Through His Word, His will, and His way. Let me put it like this. Understanding is not a game of mental gymnastics. Understanding is not a brain teaser or a complicated puzzle. Understanding is not some esoteric secret that only a privileged or initiated few may acquire. No, understanding is simply knowing our Lord, His Word, and applying it to our lives. Now let me show you. I want you to go back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's read verses 5 through 8. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8. Look what God says to His people when He gave them His law. Deuteronomy 4, beginning there in verse 5. He's speaking through Moses, and Moses says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Now watch. Wait a minute. Let me stop there. Moses said, I've taught you statutes and judgments that you should do so. Not that you can glory in your brilliant intellect, not so that you can please others with your knowledge and demonstrate your knowledge. No, He said, I've taught you this so that you can do it. Watch verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. Do what? His law, His commandments. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great and hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Note, if you would please, he says, this is your wisdom. This is your understanding. It is God's law. It is God's word that is our wisdom and our understanding. Do you understand that when God gave his law to Israel, it was unique. The nation was unique. The people were unique. Do you realize Israel was the only nation that had his law? The Hittites didn't have it. The Jebusites didn't have it. The Babylonians didn't have it. The Egyptians didn't have it. No. So it was very unique then, not only to have God's law, listen carefully, but to be instructed in God's law and have God's law explained to you so that you could apply it and live by it in every situation. Do you realize there was absolutely nothing that existed that was so agreeable to reason and truth and justice and equity among the nations that existed then or that exists now that's comparable to God's law? Nothing. God's law is unique. It's his law that set Israel aside as a unique people. It's his law that gave them wisdom and understanding. It is his law that sets his people aside as a peculiar people, as Titus says. And as Peter uses that expression as well. It's his law that sets us aside as a peculiar people. It's his law that gives us wisdom and understanding. We must comprehend that to know and to do God's will is the whole of wisdom and understanding. It is our observance and our obedience to the law of God that brings God so nigh unto us. So I asked you earlier, how can I tell whether or not Marshall has understanding? How can I tell if Kevin has understanding? And the answer is by how he lives. How does he conduct his life? It's not how many scriptures that he can quote. There's nothing wrong with quoting scripture. But you can memorize the entire Bible. But if you don't apply it and live by it, you don't really understand it. You've just memorized it. See, Scripture teaches in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2 that the heart of the wise man is at his right hand. What? The heart of the wise man is at his right hand? Well, I thought the wise man's heart was right here in the center of his chest like everybody else. What does he mean when he says the heart of the wise man is at his right hand? Most men are right-handed. It's the right hand that works. It's the right hand that applies. So when the wise man said the heart of the wise man is his right hand, it's the wise man that applies God's law and God's word in every situation. Do you understand? Do you understand now why Proverbs 12 and verse 2 is so specific? You remember the Apostle Paul said in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But now listen to verse 2, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Listen, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Wow. You have to prove. How do you prove it? You live it. You live it. You work it out in your daily life. You work it out in every situation. In Proverbs 8, verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says this, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. Listen, they're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. I want you to think about that. They're all plain to him that understandeth. I've had people tell me, Brother Weaver, I just don't understand the Bible. I don't understand why you don't understand the Bible. It's all plain. How can you misunderstand you must be born again? How can you misunderstand except you repent you shall likewise perish? How can you misunderstand thou shalt not commit adultery? How can you misunderstand thou shalt not steal? No. A lot of times it's not that we don't understand some things. It's that we don't want to obey them. We don't want to apply them. But the truth is, if we really, really have understanding, that is, if we really, genuinely want to apply the Word of God to our lives, it's going to be made plain to us. It's not going to be exceedingly difficult. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32. Let me show you something. We had just read from Deuteronomy 4, where God gave His law to His people, and He said, "This is your wisdom and your knowledge." So it's important to note that God gave His law to His people. But what in the world did Israel do? Israel turned from that law and rejected that law and followed their own devices. So I want you to look what God says about them. Now, you have to understand something about Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 is an ode or a song against Israel. If you read Deuteronomy 31, God commanded Moses to write this ode, to write this song against Israel, because God knew exactly what they were going to do. So in Deuteronomy 32, look in verse 28, he says this, talking about Israel now, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Now, why were they void of counsel? Why was there no understanding in them? Why were they unwise? Because they had rejected God and His law. They were not going to obey. If you'll look in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 30, after Moses wrote this song, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." He read and quoted this to these people. Amazingly, in this passage, God refers to these people as a nation void and deprived of understanding. He had given them His law, but they had rejected it. They had refused it. They turned from it. They would not obey it. They would not believe it. So in their latter end, they faced the judgment of God. Now, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8, if you would. Let me show you what God continued to say about these people who rejected God's law. Jeremiah chapter 8, look if you would please at verse 9. Jeremiah 8 and verse 9. Here it is. You're talking about being plain? Jeremiah 8 verse 9. "The wise men are ashamed, they're dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" When you reject God and His law and His total word, you're depriving yourself of wisdom and understanding. When you refuse to live by God's law and God's word, you're depriving yourself of wisdom and understanding. You have to remember what happened to King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He had turned back from obeying God. And here's what Samuel said to King Saul. He said, "Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." That's the lex talionis. That's the law of retribution. Saul rejected God and His law, so God rejected him. Anyone, listen carefully, who rejects God and His law, the only thing left for their lives is chaos and confusion because of their rebellion. It is God's word that gives us our wisdom and our understanding. Therefore, listen carefully. It is our duty, therefore, not just to read the Scripture, and not just to study the Scripture, but to apply the Scripture. If there's no application, there's no real understanding. Now, I want you to turn with me, before I give you some applications, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms with me. Turn, if you would please, to Psalm 111 to begin with. I want to just show you how David cried for understanding. I hope it would enable you to cry for understanding as you emulate the prayers of David. But look in Psalm 111 in verse 10. Watch this carefully now. Psalm 111 verse 10. The Scripture says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now watch. "A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Did you hear that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. "And a good understanding have all they that" what? "Memorize His commandments?" No. "Are aware of His commandments?" No. "Are taught His commandments?" No. "A good understanding have all those that do His commandments." There has to be application. Now look in Psalm 119, and let's begin with verse 34. Psalm 119, verse 34. Watch carefully. Psalm 119, verse 34. David prays, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. What is understanding? It's keeping God's law. It's obedience. "I shall observe it with my whole heart." Look in verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. David said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." It's not that David didn't know them. What David wants to do is learn how to apply them, how to use them in every situation. Look in verse 104. David says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." You want more understanding? That means you have to obey those precepts that God has already given you that you do understand. "And it leads you, therefore," he says, "to hate every false way." Look in verse 125. Psalm 119, 125. David said, "I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies." Look in verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Verse 144. "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live." You remember what our Lord said? "I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." What did David just say? "Give me understanding, I shall live." In other words, I will enjoy the abundant life as long as I'm living obediently. Look in verse 169. "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." All of these prayer requests just prove the point that I made earlier, and that is this: understanding must be diligently sought by the child of God. Yes, it is God's gift. Yes, God gives understanding. But that gift must be diligently sought. Let me make some applications. I want you to think some things through with me. Have you really genuinely considered that it is your duty and your obligation to understand the law of God? I've already said this, but reading is insufficient. Even studying is insufficient. You are required to seek God for understanding. You must cry to God to open your eyes, enlighten your mind, just like he did to the apostles in Luke 24 there. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, you say, how diligent must I be in this? Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. I want to show you the diligence that is required. I'll probably go over this again. But I want you to see the diligence required to really understand the Word of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now wait, let me underline some things with my voice. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. Now watch. He says you have to receive, you have to hide, you have to incline, you have to apply. Now he's going to really explain what he means by that. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Now, let me suppose I came to your house and I found and I had in my hand a map where treasure had been buried on your property. Treasure worth millions. And I said to you, this is on your property. You say, where is it on my property? Well, I said, I don't really know. But you've got 10 acres here. I just know it's on this 10 acres. Now you know, you see the map. You authenticate that map. You know it's real. You know it's genuine. And you know that that treasure is on your property. Now here's my question. Would you go get your shovel and dig a foot or two in one spot and say, well, I'm tired, I'll pick this up tomorrow if I have time. And tomorrow, you see that shovel and you say, well, I just don't feel like digging today. I'll dig tomorrow. You know what? If you really believe there was treasure on your property, you wouldn't even mess with a shovel. You'd go rent a backhoe. And when you got through with your property, you couldn't tell it from a mountain because you'd have dirt piled everywhere, digging for that treasure. That's what our Lord said. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide them in your heart, so that you incline your ear and apply your heart, if you cry after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, yea, he said, if you seek for her as for silver and for hidden treasures, then, and only then, will you find knowledge and understand the fear of the Lord. It should be obvious, if you're going to be doing some seeking for silver and gold, you're going to be working. And if you're going to understand God's law, it's going to require time and patience and work. Here's the second application. Truth that is uncomprehended and unapplied is absolutely worthless. Now I want to tell you something. You say, boy, I wish I could remember all these sermons. I wish I could remember this. I wish I could remember that. Do you know why you really do not retain most of what you hear, read, or discuss? It's because you never really genuinely understood it. Because if you understand it, you apply it. Go back to this analogy again. If I know that there is treasure buried on my property, and I have the means to dig that treasure up. What good is that treasure if I never use the means to acquire it? What good is the treasure of the Word of God to you if you never seek Him for understanding and you never apply it in your lives? You remember what our Lord said in Matthew 13 and verse 12, and I'll probably deal with this more next week, but He said this, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have the more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So let me put this in a language that you can understand. Here's what our Lord said. If you use the truth, you get more truth. If you don't use it, you lose it. Because there's no real understanding without application. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your grace. And we do ask You for understanding. Not only, Lord, show us the importance and necessity of it, but show us, Lord, also it's a divine gift. And it's our duty and our obligation and our responsibility to seek that gift from Thee. May we seek it diligently as we would seek silver and gold and buried treasure, knowing that in Thee we have life and that we can have it more abundantly by Your grace and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.